You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. It's December, and our holiday special story is Super Spy Science Secret Santa. Only one chapter this week, and frankly, you are very lucky to get that. It is Monday, it's already been one of those weeks, and just about everything has been conspiring to stop me recording this episode. So, Super Spy Science Secret Santa, Chapter 4, Q versus Boom. Quentin usually tried to avoid the Brogo Boom boys when he was working on something especially brilliant, for the obvious reasons. They were messy, erratic, and entirely lacking in subtlety. Also, they made things explode. A lot. Far too often for any credible scientist. Even popping your head into their reinforced lab was taking your life into your own hands. There was no reinforcement in the world that could stop the quiet rumbles that shook Quentin's floor periodically, just as he was putting the last wire or stitch into a particularly sensitive piece of spy-friendly equipment. He tried not to hold it against them, because they were excellent scientists with a strong track record, and the spy business wouldn't get very far without the ability to discreetly blow something up at a moment's notice, but, well, there were days when he did rather hold it against them. Sometimes he did his really fiddly work at home for this exact reason, or waited until the Brogo Boom boys had left for the day. That didn't mean he was a workaholic, Fern. It just meant that he had a certain standard of perfection he preferred to attain with every project, and that he had to compensate for known environmental factors. Despite their callous disregard for the laws of physics and occupational health and safety, Quentin had to admit that the Brogo Boom boys were very nice fellows, always available to offer a friendly ear when he had a problem he needed to discuss with other human beings. Quentin waited until the time statistically least likely to be explosion heavy, 10:15 in the morning, shortly before tea break, and knocked. There was a dull thud from inside, and when the door slid open, it revealed clouds of black, noxious smoke. "Bro!" hollered one of the dim shapes on the other side of the smoke clouds. "Welcome to the Boom Cave! Long time, no bro!" "Ah," said Quentin. "I can come back later if it would be more convenient." "Nah, bro, come on in," said Barry, emerging from the smoke in what looked like an old-fashioned diving suit, with the words "bro" painted in glitter on the helmet. "Have a beer." Quentin blinked. "It is not even 11 a.m. "Good point, bro," said Bruce, who was still on the far side of the lab and thus only existed as a shadow, surrounded by black, gaseous clumps of air. He hit the extractor switch, and smoke billowed up into the ceiling, dispersing in a matter of seconds. "Light beer, eh?" Quentin had created the industrial-strength draft extraction ceiling fan as Barry's Secret Santa gift last year, and he still felt a little dirty about it. From a professional standpoint, though, it was good to see how well it stood up. "Tea, please," he said firmly, and took the only unwobbly chair near the lab drink station. "So, what brings you here, bro?" asked Barry, thumping him so hard between his shoulder blades that Quentin's eyes watered.
I wanted to ask your advice," Quentin gasped, "about Secret Santa gifts."
"Ah, Secret Santa is the best," howled Bruce. He hit the button of his automated tea maker and cracked a couple of stubbies out of the small fridge, handing one to his partner in explosive experiments. "Guess who we got this year?"
"Well, you're not really supposed to tell."
"I got Bruce, and I got Barry,"
bro, bro. It's going to be like, boom, boom. It occurred to Quentin that Fern had been particularly sinister with her Secret Santa distributions this year and was possibly trying to kill them all. I'm short of ideas about what to make this year, he muttered.
Bro, said Bruce, wide-eyed, but you're like the best at gifts. Look at this.
He pulled his tie out from under his badly buttoned lab coat. And yes, it was the bright red and green paisley tie that Quentin had given him for Secret Santa 3 years ago. Bruce poured his beer over the tie, which instantly absorbed the liquid without a mark.
Best tie ever. I dropped half a lasagna on it last week. Never saw it again.
That's not, Quentin started to say. You do wash it, don't you?
Nah, it's always clean. Why would I?
Quentin regretted everything about his past choices.
So, what's the problem, little bro? Barry asked. Who'd you draw?
We're not supposed to, Quentin sighed. Agent Stiletto.
Oh, both bros said in unison. We get you now, said Barry. Gotta be something good, right?
Gotta be something great, Bruce corrected. That is one tough lady, bro. You want to impress her, right?
Quentin stared wildly at them both.
What? I didn't. We're just friends. Nobody needs to impress anybody.
Sure, said Bruce. Friends. But you want something that makes her, like, super into you, right?
Quentin's cheeks felt like they were on fire. That would be highly inappropriate. I've already made so much of my best work for her as my day job, so I'm not sure where to go from here. It was true that he found Agent Stiletto especially inspiring. Her work in the field was exceptional, and Quentin's speciality of wardrobe and accessories fitted beautifully with her talents for disguise and infiltration. Already that year he had built her a working holographic disguise mask with 12 settings, an invisibility lipstick, a sequined evening gown with a bullet dispenser built into the corset, a diamond ring which worked as a wireless hard drive, and a vaping device that protected her from all known forms of toxic gas. What more was there to create for her? He explained this to the Brogo Boom Boys as their automated tea machine produced a frozen cube of chai, insta-melted it with a laser attachment, and foamed it slightly. The tea tasted like motor oil, but smelled fantastic.
Bro, said Barry finally, you're like a low-key genius, but she knows that already. And all that stuff is work-related. You gotta find the fun.
This is a work function, Quentin said stiffly. We work on our gifts during work hours, which is something I have protested on many occasions.
Yeah, but bro, said Bruce, she's like a person. So if you want a gift that says, I think you are a hot lady, but in a completely respectful, non-pressure way, how about we get a drink sometime? You gotta think outside the work box.
Why does everyone think I have a crush on Agent Stiletto? Quentin wailed. I merely respect her as a colleague and a friend.
Barry looked disappointed. No hot lady drinks?
No hot lady drinks, Quentin confirmed. But I do want to make her something that's less work-related than usual, I think.
What does she do in her spare time? Bruce asked. Like, on weekends.
Quentin found his eyes go slowly wide.
I don't know. Both bros nodded at him, impressed with their own wisdom.
Bro, said Barry, find out what she's into outside work, and the inspiration will, like, come.
For defs, agreed Bruce. Gotta put the R in R&D, you feel?
Research, Quentin agreed. Yes, of course. Play, not work. Play, not work.
He needed inside intel without in any way descending to stalker levels of fact-finding. He needed a source into the recreational preferences of Agent Stiletto. He needed Agent Cupcake. Thanks for listening. Next week, we'll be back listening to Q versus Cupcake. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, please consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. This particular story that you are listening to right now was actually a Patreon exclusive 2 years ago. So people who support me at $2 a month got to read this story 2 years ahead of everybody else. See you next week for more Q versus, let's face it, Christmas. Everybody. See you then.